A blessing, all the women and the ladies who made that wonderful dinner and made it so beautiful. You put your hands together. That is wonderful. That is awesome. I think that's a beautiful picture, just a reminder that God made you a woman, and God made you just to love and enjoy beautiful things and enjoy each other and enjoy making things beautiful and fabulous. And so just remember who you are. Always say, remember who you are. You are God's princess, and you do deserve His best. So we're going to go over a couple questions I want to share, and we're going to do a couple things. So feel free to help as well. First question, if you have had sex before your marriage, is there a way to make yourself pure again? First thing I want to say is if you have already had sex and you have never gone to get tested, I would totally go to get tested. Take someone that you love with your friend. Tell someone it's not a bad, it's not a thing. It's the best thing for you. Go and just to make sure that everything's okay, that you're all right. Like I said, there are some things that you can get that you wouldn't know, and if you would take some medicine for it, it would be okay. There's some things that you may have to deal with, and the sooner you know, the better. And then it may be absolutely nothing, and you know, and you've been spared, then you don't have to worry and have this guilt and just deal with it. So if you don't know where or any place, find someone you trust. There's so many really great clinics for women who actually they'll do it for free for you if you don't have insurance and all that stuff. So first thing is that. Secondly, as far as to be pure again, when God says that He is forgiven, He says He forgets and He throws it away, like into the sea, right? So when you say, God, from this moment forward, I want to be pure before You, you are pure. Because why? Because God has paid the price, has forgiven you, and you've made steps before that. And it's not just kind of like, oh, well, you can start again, or you're, some people say, recycled virgin, or all that kind of stuff. No, for with God, things are made whole. It is from this day forward. And then you're honoring God by that, and God will honor your marriage, and you start from that day forward. The past is the past. The future is in Christ. So if you have done that already and you're just feeling you can't, then you have to believe that, God, You will make me pure again, and from this day forward, I am pure. So hopefully that answers that one. What if you've already had intercourse, but now you want to wait even though you are not a virgin anymore? I think that is great. That is wonderful. You do it. It's not a can you or is it still count or does it mean anything? It does. And I have met so many people who have, before they met God or even before they really got serious, just, you know, made a bunch of mistakes, had sex, and then they made a decision. From this day forward, I'm going to do it. Or even they were with the husband and they didn't know God or whatever, and they were totally having sex. And then when they realized, what are we doing? They stopped for like 6 months or a month before they got married because they got saved. Now they knew what they were doing. God honors that. You know, you are responsible for the information that you know. So now that you are all here today, you are very responsible. You have no excuses. Congratulations. You are responsible for what you know. And So I mean, what a beautiful thing to stand before your husband in one day and say, you know, I didn't make the right choices at this point, but at this point I realized how much I wanted this relationship and to value you, and from that point on I did that. That's huge. Because I'll tell you something, when you start, if you ever notice, like the first time you ever held somebody's hand, your hands are all sweaty and palmy. It's like, big deal, right? Then after a while, it becomes normal, right? And then all of a sudden, the first kiss ever, you know, the fireworks go off and everything. And then the kiss after that, it's not a big deal anymore. Things become familiar with you, which is why you have to get those boundaries and those scales. If you start, all of a sudden, kissing's familiar to you, then French kissing's familiar, fondling, all that stuff. Why am I saying that? Everything that goes under a bathing suit that you see on a one-piece bathing suit, that should just be off limits right there forever and ever. So if you ever wonder, think of a one-piece bathing suit, okay? Off limits. Yes. Purity is not, like I said, one act. Purity is a mindset, it's a lifestyle, it's choices, it's thoughts, it's everything. Why can't you have sex when you are engaged? You're going to get married anyways. On that one, when you're engaged, how many people, first of all, when you're engaged, you're not married. The covenant, it's a spiritual thing. Covenant, when you get married, It is like a spiritual covenant that God has put over. He's blessing on it, his honor on it. You are married, you know, before God in heaven and on and before the law on earth. Before that, engage, you're betrothed, like what they used to say in the Bible. But first of all, there's a lot of people who have been engaged who have not got married. Tons of people. So just because you're engaged doesn't mean you're still going to have to work out things. And girls doesn't mean you can just be a brat and he's never going to leave you, like, or vice versa. You find something out, you probably say, you know what, I've changed my mind. I do not, you know, want to get married. So being engaged is preparation for marriage. It's not marriage. So it's definitely, you can't, first of all, because God says you can't. And so it is a sin. And you will be hurting yourself and you will be taken away from God honoring and blessing your marriage. So anybody else want to comment on any of these? Is that good? Okay. How do you know what man would be the right one for us if he would be our future husband? Okay. This one. You know how people say, like, when you meet him, you're just going to know he's the one. Well, I heard that all my life. And but you can't explain the feeling unless you've had the feeling, and you can't understand the feeling unless you've met the one, right? So it's kind of this thing you have to just trust. But for an example, there's some things inside your notebook about how do you know it's the right one, like the people, can you talk, look on page, the right one. Just, I'm not going to read that whole thing under there, but there's a great way that you can get some things. Can you work together? Do you have mutual friends? Are you proud of each other? These are huge things. I remember when the first guy I dated in high school. I don't even know how we dated. It just was like he was in the youth group, I was in the youth group, everybody else had a boyfriend and girlfriend, and so I just kind of started talking to him. And it happened, but I was like, was I proud of him? No. Do we have the same things in common? No. But there's a list right there, so you can read that on your own. But here's what I wanted to share from experience. From when I was telling you, my hardest time was when I was 26, 27, and I was dating a guy for 3 years. And he was a Christian. He was a good guy. He was very outgoing. I was attracted to him because he was so opposite to me. I care what everybody thinks. I'm so, you know, whatever. He really didn't care, and he was outgoing. And I went to something, and it was just, I was really liked what he was doing and his work and his ministry and everything. I believe that God has best. There's in life, there's best, good, better, and okay. And you can be okay with good or better, but if you want God's best, then that's when you let him choose for you, and then you get that feeling inside where you just know. Why am I saying that? Because when I was dating him, he asked me to marry him, and something inside of me was just kind of like, I could, yeah. I mean, he loves me. I mean, and what more does a girl want? He totally loves me, and we've been in this relationship for 3 years now, and I'm getting older. I'm going to be 30 soon, in a couple of years. I was doing all this stuff, and I was like convincing myself, if you're in that situation, then it's probably not the right situation for you. And when I would go to things and people would talk, I would feel like, gosh, I have to break up with him. We struggled a lot physically because that was a big struggle for him, and he had in the past. I knew in my heart, but I would not admit it, that God said, this is not for you. You need to get out of this relationship. But I wouldn't do it because tons of reasons. Because he was a great guy. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't best. Does that make sense? And so I remember specifically, I was just like getting worn out by it. I saw like it was going to make my life hard. It was going to really affect my ministry. And get this, he's still a Christian. Just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean that's it. So I went to a conference in Mexico, and I felt like the preacher was just speaking to me. I started crying, and I was just like, God's like, I mean, you don't really trust me, because if you really did, you would let go. And if I was for you, I'd bring him back to you, but you need to trust me. I was crying. I was like, God, help me to surrender, but I cannot get out of this. Will you pull me out? That's literally what I said to God. Will you pull me out of this? I felt like I got saved all over again, ended up breaking up, and then time passes by. And my mom would always tell me, I mean, you be about God's business and God will take care of your business. So I was leading worship at Biola University for a chapel or a Tory conference. I forgot, one of those. And I need a keyboard player. So I told this bass player that I played with, I was like, hey, I need a keyboard player. And I'm coming in from Mexico and I don't have, you know, and he's like, oh, this guy, Vaughn. And I had heard about Vaughn because all the ladies liked Vaughn, right? So I was like, oh, okay. And he was a predominantly Asian church, so I thought he was like this Korean rock star. You know, that's what I pictured in my head. You know, like, cool dude. Like, that's what I thought he was. So I was like, oh, sure. So we left messages, never talked to him on the phone. He came in, and as he walked in, my girlfriend had just gotten out of an engagement, broke off an engagement. She was in the depths of despair. So I was like, girl, come on, come sing back up for me. And hey, that guy Vaughn from the church is coming. I heard he's really cute. You never know. I was just joking around with her. And then he walks in. And I was like, oh, he's half Asian, half German. And I was like, oh, I could see now, you know, why the girls are all after him. And then he started playing and everything. He kind of scared me a little bit because he was kind of serious, I thought. And then at Viola, when we were leading worship, I just noticed, like, there's so much maturity about him. But then I was thinking, I mean, what are you thinking? You're an old girl. This guy's 22, 23. I don't want to date anybody younger than me. That was my thing. And so then I start talking to him. I pull him. Okay, girl, here's another thing. When they're, especially the older girls, you gotta okay, imagine if we were a guy and we had to pursue the relationship and everything. It's difficult. It's difficult for a good guy. If he's in church and starts talking, everyone thinks he's trying to hook up on, you know, like, it's difficult for them too. So come on, help the guy out. If you're really interested and you think this is a great guy, I want to get to know him, you know, he loves Lord and everything, you gotta throw something out there for him, you know, like, give him a, like, when this one guy said, I really gotta leave a little scent, you know, let him know that you're interested. So the reason why he said that is because, I guess, on National Geographic, the spiders, the woman spider leaves a little sand, and the guy knows, and that's how it happens with spiders. That's why he said that. But anyways, so you got to, like, you know, you be a woman, and I still was like, I've never gone after a guy. I've never, you know, called or just, like, you know, not like that, but I'm just saying, make an open door for a friendship to start. Don't just be so like, oh, whatever. So anyways, long story short, I told him we had to go to the second thing, and I was like, oh, hey, Vaughn, we have to go backstage to get ready for the next service. Totally didn't have to. I just said that because I wanted to talk to him, right? So I pulled him back there, and we were like 10 minutes early, so it was just me and him. So I was talking to him, and I started finding out where he grew up, and I was like, whoa, this guy's got depth. And what he was saying was, like, if it was me talking, I was like, gosh. So I was like, wow. And I'm thinking again, oh, Irene, he's probably 22, 23. What are you thinking? Okay, get over it, Irene. And I was like, plus, whatever. So then I leave. I'm getting ready to leave, and he doesn't say bye to me, and my heart sunk. And I was like, wow, I'm not like this. I'm not a kind of girl who I just like, ooh, it takes me a long time to like a person. He leaves, and I think after we're gone, I don't think about it. He emails me, and we start the conversation. I find out someone asks him, how old are you? And he's like, I'm 31. All right, girls, hold back, you know. It's on. Here we go. So I was like, whoa, single guy, 31, like, loves the Lord, all this stuff. And then, but still I was like, okay, but I'm not going to pursue it. But I did, you know, have a conversation. He emails me. We started emailing for 3 months. It was just like, you too, me too. Wow, everything was in common. He picked me up from the airport. I flew in from Arizona, and we went to Denny's, our first date. Denny's, and he always says, I was just checking you out, making sure, you know, you whatever. And after that, I was just like, 2 weeks of talking to him after that, it was like I knew. It was like, wow, this is just different. Like, is not like anything I've ever compared. I felt like I knew him. I grew up. I'd always told the Lord, God, I want to marry somebody I grew up with because I had such fun growing up. And that didn't happen because everybody I knew got married, you know, so that wasn't going to happen. And it's just amazing how God brought it together. After 2 weeks, I was like, you know, I know we only been really talking 2 weeks, but I just want you to know, because, you know, this situation and where I'm coming from, because it just feels different. He's like, you know what, I do too. So fast forward a year later, Hope University, we did a worship night there, and in front of everybody, he had all my family and friends hidden behind a stage. He came out in a suit, and he wrote a song for me called God. It was so wonderful. I just forgot. He wrote a song. He had the lyrics up on the sheet, and he wrote a song in the proposal. He put it in there, and he proposed right there, brought flowers, his friends, and then they turned the lights on. All my families and friends were there. Sent a video. He's from the East Coast, and sent a video with all his family and friends saying congratulations and everything, and it was just amazing. I was in tears for like 2 weeks, not because like I was like, I wasn't the kind of girl who was like, oh my gosh, I'm engaged. Not at all. I've never been that kind of person anyways, but it was just like, wow, God, like, you really know what I need, and I've been speaking this and preaching this and living and doing my best for so long, and you came and you did above and beyond what I could ever imagine. And all my little desires that I thought were impossible to come, you did. And it may seem like a fairy tale, but it's not, because I had my moments where I'm never gonna get married, you know? I had those moments and like, what's wrong with me? And how come I don't like anybody, or you know, all that stuff. So all that to say, everything that we're saying, what the Bible says, that gut feeling inside, sometimes you already know that either you got to get out of the relationship or that this is the one. So any comments with that? Does that make sense? Good? Okay. If you go out on a date and the guy is not your boyfriend, but you've dated him a couple of times, is it a sin to allow him to kiss you even though you know he's not someone you're going to have a relationship with? Okay. First of all, I'm not here to tell you where your boundary is for you, but I will say this, like, there's that chain of command, that look, hand, cold kiss, French kiss, and then everything goes on from there, right? So would I say that this is the best choice for you? Absolutely not. I wouldn't say it's the best choice for you, because usually things don't end at a kiss, especially on this part where you say you know you don't want to have a relationship with. Then you're not protecting yourself, and you're not honoring yourself or honoring him either. So I would say it's not like it's a sin, like you know, I'm gonna go to hell for it or anything. But I wouldn't. I think that is definitely, each choice leads to a different choice, and I think that this is definitely something you want to say. You know what? I would think. Anybody else? Questions? Thoughts? Nobody wants to. Any other thoughts, anyone? Yes. Exactly. Good job. Mixed messages. That's what we were saying to you. You're projecting something that you may say, that's not me, I don't want. Another thing too, like I was saying how I struggled the most when I was 26, 27, is that I had been so strong through high school, through college, that everything has stayed within my boundaries. And you know what? Every single one of us is capable. I do not like it when people like, oh, she, you know, she had sex and this and she, you know, and look at different people. People are raised different. People have different situations. If I was raised like my friend was raised in her situation, I would have had sex too. I had people in my life who helped me to make those boundaries in my life. I couldn't have done it by myself. So when you're saying about mixed messages, it's very true. You can say, oh, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this. But we're all capable of something, and we're all tempted, and we all can fall, so we all need to protect ourselves. Because look at you guys, you planned for college, you planned for your tests, you planned for this. You should plan for your life, your future, your purity, your marriage starting today. Not when you meet the guy and he proposes. Does that make sense? So this is part of the planning process. What would you do if one of your cousins, that's a girl... Okay. This is talking about, what would you do if someone, one of your cousins rapes you and you don't want your family to know, to fight? Okay. I want to say a couple things about this. First of all, I told you I was molested when I was younger. It took me, because here's my situation. Someone found out and they didn't want to have the whole family thing and find out. They told me at a young age not to say anything, so I couldn't tell my mom for a while, and which was the wrong thing for them to do. And finally, one day, I had to tell my mom, and I told my mom everything, and all the stuff was dealt with. I say, you need to speak up. It is hard. I remember sitting in the van when I was like, Mom, I have to tell you something. And tears were coming out of my eyes, and I could not get the first word out of my mouth to tell her what had happened, and I had to explain what had happened. And it was the most difficult thing for me. After I did it, I was just like, it was like a relief. And yes, drama happened. It was difficult, but I don't think I could have lived and experienced the freedom. When you're molested, usually these things happen. One, you either become very promiscuous and you start because that's been opened up to you, or if you've been raped. Secondly, you become really closed up. That's the second trait, and that's what I did. I closed up. I had a hard time relating to guys after that. Third thing, most people who get molested are usually apted to homosexuality, because either someone of the same sex or gender has done something to you, or even the opposite. Homosexuality, about that, do you hear so many things where people say you're born with it, or anything like that? That is definitely not true. It's never been proven. So even though scientists or some people say that, they've never been able to prove it. And God has said that it is out of the order of what he has done. Why do people have such strong feelings and they feel like, well, but I'm attracted to a girl and I'm a girl, or I'm attracted to a guy and I'm a guy? The reason is this: sin has a way of gripping you. And so sometimes if you've been molested when you were younger and things, you've experienced different things, or people touching you, or you touch other people, and all of a sudden usually you hang out with the same sex more than you hang out with the opposite sex, and you start getting these feelings, but you play out on it. And when you play out on it, then you experience something, and then you think, and then it becomes stronger. You play out on it again, it becomes stronger. You play out, in other words, you go through the actions. It becomes stronger and stronger. So by the time you're ready to reason and to think it out, the feeling is so strong in you that you think it's fact, you think that's how you were born, you think that's how you grew up. The more you play with sin, and it is a sin, the more grasp it has on you. And there has been, I've had great conversations with people where young girls who have been molested or raped, and then even young girls who haven't, that they have these weird thoughts going through your mind. Like sometimes they'll be sitting like this, with another girl, and they'll just have these thoughts, like, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, you know, like, where did that come from? First of all, if you've been exposed to that, or junk, or like sexual abuse is also someone exposing you to pornography, or having you do something that you don't want, or even just undressing, all that stuff is abuse. That kind of stuff happens. And that's why the moral standard of God inside of you is like, no, this is not right. Because you have that thought doesn't mean you're different, you're made different, something's wrong with you. But when you act out on those thoughts is when it begins to take hold of you. And that's when you need to realize, okay, this is a sin, this is wrong. I do not want to be controlled by this. I want to live, and I want to be free in what God has for me. And you bring it to God, and God can do deliverance. There's lots of churches now that have even classes and support groups for people who deal with homosexuality. There's a girl I spoke a couple weeks ago at a youth group in, I think, La Puente. And I totally felt God speaking to me for her, saying, you failed so many times, you've fallen, you get back up. Everybody in the church knows you, up and down, that you're so ashamed to even come back to God and say, God, please forgive me, please help me. And I didn't pull her out, because I just didn't feel necessary. And afterwards, she came up to me and said, you know, I'm dealing with homosexuality. And everybody knows my mom's a missionary, my dad's my cousin's a pastor, and like, she grew up in church, and she's dealing with it. But you know why she's dealing with it, having strong? Because in the very beginning, when it was really small, she acted out on something, and then continued to act out on it, and it came a hold on her. So, and for this person, I would hope that you would say somebody, and if you can't speak up to your family, then go to somebody that you trust that you can talk through, and maybe takes, I've been with people who had to tell people, and I would sit there with them and tell them with it, just to get, the initial part is difficult. It's very difficult, and and if you want, my email's on there. If you want to call me or email me, you can take my card, and I can help you and talk with you more about this. But I would definitely speak up about it for sure, and know that there will be someone there to help you. You have really, that's a comment. It says, God has really helped me today. I have done things I'm not proud of, and you saying that God forgives really does help today. I'm sure a lot of us feel like that today. I really enjoy the lesson. It's causing me to hold my life at a higher possession. Very cool. If you have... Oh, that was it. I'm repeating them. Very cool. Thank you guys for your questions. If something isn't answered, my email is back there. You just pick up a card, email me, and that will be between you and I. So let's... Oh my goodness, okay. Let's see, I'm going to pass them. First Corinthians 6:12, we want to write that down. It says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible. When it says permissible, it doesn't mean that you have permission. It just means it's a possibility. It's capable. You have the ability. God, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Why do I say that? You know, after you go through puberty and your period comes and everything, you are capable of having kids, right? Does that mean that that is the time for you? No, it means it's possible, but it is not the appointed time for you, right? So what I want to do today is I want you to get out your books, and on the last page in there it has a commitment. Real quick, this is when I was talking about like the homosexuality and how you feel like this is how I feel. The same thing goes for having premarital sex or passing boundaries. Sexual activity creates an appetite which grows. I'm gonna say that again. Sexual activity creates an appetite which grows. Just like I said, hands holding becomes nothing, kissing becomes nothing. You go to the next level and all that stuff. It does have an appetite. It grows, which is why you have to make a commitment, and you get to make a commitment. You have the opportunity and the choice to make a commitment. I made this commitment, and it is, gosh, I'm so grateful that my church, my family, sent me to things like this, talked to me about things like this, valued these things. Even if there's nobody in your family, everybody in your family's, you know, had kids since they were 15 or whatever, that's fine. Doesn't have to dictate your life. You have the opportunity, and God has given you everything that you need to be able to stand pure from this day forward. So you can't make excuses. Well, my family this, or you don't know what this, or what happened. Doesn't matter. God has given you everything. All you have to do is receive it. Receive what He has. And no matter what you've gone through, what's going on, where you've been, where you've slept, what you've said, God is here saying, I can redeem everything. I can give you the purity that is Christ on you, and we can start from today. There's a story of a little girl named Jenny, and she's going through the grocery store. And when I was little, I used to always find things in line at the grocery store that you just had to have and you wanted. Well, she found a pearl necklace. And she says, Mom, please, can I have this pearl necklace? It only costs $2.99. And the mom's like, yes, you have $2 from your birthday and your chores. You get $1, so $2.99, you got it. This girl, she would wear this necklace everywhere. She loved it, except for in the shower, because her mom said it would turn green. So she took it off when she took a bath. She was going to sleep. Her dad would come in and says, hey, sweetie, can I have your necklace? No, Daddy, why do you want my necklace? Necklaces are for girls. But you can have my horse, Joe. He's kind of cool. Oh, no, it's okay. So when he gives her a hug, kiss, goes to bed. Next day, in bed, she's in bed, and he comes to say goodnight. And she's like, Jenny, can I have your pearls? Oh, no, Daddy, not my pearls. But you can have my doll, Susie. She's really cool. She's the one that she wets her pants, and you can change her. And then all that stuff, he's explaining the whole thing. And she's like, no, it's okay, Susie. Next day he comes again, Susie, can I have your pearls? And then she's like, she takes them off and she says, here, Daddy, if you really want my pearls, you can have. And as he gives her the pearls, he takes the pearls, and out of his pocket he pulls out a little box. And in that box he has a real set of pearls for her. And the same is true with the Lord. Sometimes we're holding on to things. And for all of us, it's something different, whether it's guilt from our past, whether it's stubbornness and but you don't understand God and I don't need you, God, whether it's in a relationship we know we're not supposed to be in, whatever it is, we're holding on to it because we think this is the best. And God is saying, let go so that you can receive. You can't receive God's best unless your hands are empty. There's a perfect love cast out all fear. Perfect love. And we're going to end in a little bit. Perfect love cast out all fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of what if, fear of all that, fear of not being accepted, fear of all that. I used to live in Arizona. There's these huge lightning bolts there. I mean, like, you could hear it and it would just move everything. We used to sit on the porch and just listen. This little girl's walking home from school in the rain, and her mom coming to pick her up, she gets a flat tire. And she's like, oh my goodness, my poor sweetheart. She's in there in the rain, and she gets her friend to help her, gets her a ride. And as she's at the stop sign, and she can see the little girl, every time the lightning would come, it would stop. The little girl would stop and look up, and she's thinking, oh my gosh, she's probably frightened. Well, she opens the door, and she's like, are you okay? And she's like, hi, Mom, how are are you? She's all excited. And the mom's like, are you okay? I thought you were scared. Or are you okay? She goes, oh, no, Mom. Jesus was taking my picture. And the verse that goes with that is that perfect love casts out all fear. I want you to remember that. The second thing I want you to remember before we make this commitment is that you are not alone. You're only alone if you choose to be alone. You have people here that love you, that honor you, that respect you, and you can make friends and bring people together. There's a verse in the Bible that says, now so that we are surrounded in Hebrews by such a great cloud of witnesses. You know how many people have gone before you, how many young girls who have stood, made a standard. God has blessed their lives. They have moved forward and they have made stand in the gap through abstinence, through saying, I will abstain until marriage. There's a huge cloud of witnesses. Now, I want to show you a clip right now, and then we're going to make this, we're going to do this. It's a story of a it's from Iron Will. It's a movie that came out a long time ago. And here's this young boy. His dad has died. His mom is losing the farm. He wants to make this race, this dog sled race that only like professionals do. You can die out there. I mean, it's a difficult race. So he's going to do it. He's the underdog by far. People are voting against him to make money, all that stuff. The mom's at the end. We're going to watch the finish line of it. And when you see it happen, you see how he wasn't running for himself. This was a huge thing for me to get out of that relationship that I knew I wasn't supposed to. I was thinking, you know what? My aunt even said, Irene, I had a dream, and I have to tell you that if you marry him, it's going to be very hard for you. Very hard for you. And I wanted to get angry, but then I knew my aunt wouldn't say that. She doesn't meddle in my things unless she really meant it. And one thing I thought about this was that, you know, maybe I can make it through this relationship, but I even had to think of the future, but will my kids one day be able to make it through this? Will my kids be able to serve God? Because it's hard when everybody's turning their back on God these days. So when you make a decision for purity, it's not just for yourself. It's for your family. It's for your whoever your mom, your parents. It's for your future kids. It's for your husband to be in the future. It's for yourself. It's a decision that encompasses your whole life. So here's the story. He's coming to the very end, and I want you to see what happens, and I want you to think of that in terms of what God has said. Not that I have obtained all this, but I set forward to the race that God has called me to the goal, to that finish line, where yes, God does come through. Yes, God is faithful. Yes, God is true to his word. So here's the end of that race, and I want you to see it. They have pencils. Okay. That's where they think it's somebody else who's winning. Yay. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And our prayer is, God, if my desires in my heart do not match yours, then please change my desires. All the days for you ordained for me were written in His book before one of them came to be. Isaiah 43:18. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. You're not alone. And as you make this commitment, we want to do this together. If you turn to that page and you read that page right there, it says, true love waits. Believing that true love waits, I make a commitment to God, myself, my future husband, my family, those I date, and my future children to be sexually pure until the day that I enter marriage. So what I want to do is, if that is something that you want to do, then we want to stand with you and do that. What I want you to do is, I'm going to pray over you, and just, I'm going to sing a song as you do this, but I want you to sign this, if this is what you want. And then we're going to do our letter to our husband as well. But go ahead and take a moment and sign that at this time, and then we're going to do something.